The building. We're going to read, as we read every Sunday morning, we read Galatians 2 and 20, and let's read that from our hearts today. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated across the building today. It is good that we can come together as a body of believers today. And I thank God today we're getting close into Thanksgiving. And we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving. We're going to be celebrating with our family and our friends. There'll be a lot of turkey going on. There'll be a lot of ham going on. And it will be a huge feast at everyone's home, or at least some of the homes. And so we thank God that He has blessed us another year, that He has blessed you coming up on this Thanksgiving day that we will celebrate here very soon. But if you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to hold them up high. That's the sword of the Spirit. And those can look around, and those who are watching today, thank you for tuning in with us today. My prayers are something I can say to you and your family to encourage you along the way as we get into God's Word today. And so I want to do a Thanksgiving sermon today. And so the title of my message is this: Thank God for You. Thank God for You. And I want you to know today, as your pastor today, I thank you for all that you have done, that you've ever done for me and my family, that I am blessed beyond measure. And I thank God for those that have gone out of their way to take care of me and my family. And thank you, and I can never thank you enough, and how that we need to be thankful through this Thanksgiving holiday and be grateful for what we have. We, in a society that we live today, we want to go ahead and put our list out like a Christmas list, and we'll be dealing with that soon. Christmas will be around. But we'll put our list out of everything that we want and everything that we're going to try to achieve and what we're trying to plan for next year and what we're trying to plan. But folks, I want you to know today, be thankful for what you have today. Be grateful for what you have today. As I was sharing with the men's fellowship, we had a wonderful prayer breakfast at our Connect Center. And men, if you missed out on the prayer breakfast, you'll have to get back with us again, because, boy, I tell you, we had a feast of the Passover. We had everything you could imagine. And we had a wonderful time, and I was talking with them how that we need to be thankful for everything that God has given unto us and everything that God has done for us. And not to be so worried about tomorrow, because the Bible says tomorrow, Jesus says, tomorrow will take care of itself. But He tells us clearly that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. And when we seek the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus says, all of these things shall be added unto you. And therefore, we need to understand that when we seek the provision of what God gives unto us, we will not lack one thing, because the Lord sees your need. He goes before you. He sees your future. He knows what's tomorrow. He knows what's next week. And He knows how to provide for you. And so therefore, you can bask in His grace. You can bask in His mercy. You can bask in His grace, because He is in your best interest. He is going to take care of you, and He's going to provide for you. I give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, it's never for us to hold our head down high, but it's for us to hold our head up high, give the world a smile, and let them know who is in charge. Who's in charge, Pastor? Jesus Christ is in charge. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. He fails not. Has God ever let you down? No, He's never let you down, and He's not going to let you down. And guess what? Has God stopped loving you? No, because God can't stop loving you, because He is love, and He will love you all the way to the very end. And I thank God today. Let me get started here. You thought that was part of my sermon, didn't you? Now I'm about to get into it now. Thank God for you. Let's go to the book of Philippians, the first chapter, beginning with the third verse. Philippians 1 and 3, the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And I want you to look at this passage with me a little bit here today. The Apostle Paul had been thrown in prison. You remember the story of Paul and Silas? How that they were in prison because they were sharing the gospel. They were sharing the good news and how they got thrown in. But then what happened in the story? At midnight, the prison began to shake. They began to be an earthquake. They sung and praised God. But at midnight, the gates began to open. The jail cell began to open. And God began to move in a mighty way to set them free. And I want you to know, while they were there, the Apostle Paul was letting others know that I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. In other words, he did not forget about somebody praying for them. Have you ever forgot about somebody that said, I'm going to pray for you today, I'm going to pray for you next week? No. When somebody tells you, I'm going to pray for you, guess what? You're to say, okay, I'm expecting you to pray for me. And therefore, you begin to trust them because you know they're going to take out of their busy schedule, they're going to stop, and they're going to pray for you. And the Apostle Paul says, I thank my God. In other words, the Apostle Paul was so busy with everything else, but he did not just say, well, whatever. He said, no, I want to thank you for remembering me in prayer. There are times, folks, that you and I will go through things in life. We'll wring our hands. We'll want to throw our hands and the towel in. But I want you to know there's somebody on the sideline that's praying for you. There's somebody that's getting a prayer for you. And the struggles that you're going through, the tests and the trials that you're dealing with, somebody's getting a prayer. Somebody's getting to the throne room. Somebody's getting connected with God on your behalf so that you can come through the things that you go through in life. The prayer bells of heaven begins to ring when you and I begin to ignite ourselves together in the bond of love and begin to pray for one another. That's when God becomes God in our hearts and lives. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. We never thank our brothers and sisters in the Lord and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for getting a hold of God and getting a hold of God in behalf of me or my children or my circumstance or my situation. Because the Bible clearly lets us know that we are to pray for one another. When one suffers, we all suffer. In other words, when people are going through, if they've lost a husband, if they've lost a wife, if they've lost a brother, if they've lost a sister, when we pray for one another and lift one another up in prayer, it's encouraging them to know that it's not the end. They're not at the end of their rope. It's not the end of life. It's not doom. It's not gloom. It's not agony nor defeat, but it's victory, because prayers are coming through for you and I so that we can withstand the things of this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible clearly lets us know that we are to be a people that are passionate for one another, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to grip our hearts at a point that we can pray for one another, that we can lift one another up in prayer. I want you to know today, as we look at this a little bit, I am reminded of the Declaration of Independence of the States, that even humans has the rights to pursue happiness. And most people pursue happiness. But how many of us actually find happiness? Happiness is like grains of sand. We hold it. And then when the weather changes or our mood shifts, our happiness slips even through our hands. I am reminded of James Montgomery. He writes, "True joy has its roots in something far more stable than the shifting ground of happiness." Happiness is our translation of the Latin word of the fortune, and it is closely related to chance. Thus, if things happen to work out in a way which we approve, we're happy. And if they do not so happen, we're unhappy. Happiness is circumstantial, but not the joy. For joy is an interquality that begins to take place of the delight that's within God, and God within our hearts and life. Gladness, as it is meant to spring up within the Christian, is a way of totally unrelated to the adversities or the circumstantial blessings of this life. How can we connect to deep abundance of joy that makes our Christian walk contagious even during difficult times? Paul writes, and he lets us know, even to the Philippians, about a solid foundation of joy. I am reminded that Paul's tender relationship with the Christians at Philippi. He thanked his God every time he thought of them, because he knew through the power of prayer he was able to sustain. He knew through the power of prayer of somebody praying for him, he would be able to move forward, that he would be able to move out. Listen, I want you to know today, he could use that kind of love. And he could use what he needed from the people of God, because he felt the prayers of the people. We could use that kind of love even today. Listen, wrong relationships will flourish even in many churches today. But people who cannot forgive, little groups gather and grumble. The church becomes powerless when we don't pray for one another, when we complain with one another. Listen, the church becomes powerless because of the lack of love. Yet I am reminded there's lessons from Paul's statement of thanksgiving. He says, be thankful in everything. He says, I have learned to be thankful in whatever circumstance I am in. I am thankful to be whatever the situation may be in my life. He says, I have learned. I want you to know today, you don't just automatically have thankfulness in your heart. You have to learn to be thankful. You've got to learn from the Lord. You've got to learn through the process. You don't just automatically open up your Bible and read. You've got to make yourself want to open up God's Bible and read. You're not just going to automatically pray. You've got to set your mind into prayer. You say, well, Pastor, how is that? Because there's so much gadgetry going on in society that you can click a button and hear this. You can click a button and see this. You can click this, click that. And therefore that voids everything out in what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life, because you've allowed everything else to become your God. Paul says, be thankful in everything. If somebody takes time out to pray for you, thank them. Thank them. I remember many years ago, Brother Clyde Ledford, he would always come up to me and he would say, I need you to pray for me. And he said, and you need to practice. And I said, I know that, Brother Clyde. I said, I need to practice. In other words, you can't make yourself, you can try to make yourself do something, but to do it is to practice it, to put it in action. To pray for someone is to take out the time of your busy schedule and pray for them, and therefore it is to be thankful that someone thought of you. Now let me go a step further today. Somebody thought about you for you to be in this church today. Somebody thought enough about you for you to come and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Somebody got a prayer through. Somebody prayed. Somebody did something to get you to where you're at today. Well, you know what? You need to thank them. You say, well, Pastor, they're done dead and gone. Yes, ma'am, I know they may be dead and gone, but thank them and look up to the heavens and say, thank you, Mother. Thank you, Father. Thank you, those that have gone before me, has said a prayer for me. Thank the Lord. Because I want you to know today, I'm a living proof of where I'm at today. To be your pastor is because of my mother praying for me. My mother didn't give up on me. When I was living for the devil and when I was doing other things, she didn't stop praying. She said, as long as there's breath in my body, I'm going to be praying for you until the day I die, and I'm not going to stop. And thank God she didn't stop, because I'm here today because of her prayers. I want you to know how important it is that we pray for one another, that we lift one another up in prayer, because we all, including your pastor, we all go through things in life. We go through things in life. My first point today is this. There's value in remembering. There is value in remembering. Listen, never, ever forget to thank somebody for praying for you. If somebody has given you something, somebody has come out of their busy schedule to put you on their minds, that's being thankful, folks. That's being grateful, because you're thanking them because they thought of you. It could have been somebody thinking of your children, and your children needs prayer. Maybe it's a situation that they didn't know how to handle it. They didn't know what to do. But somebody said, I'm praying for you. Somebody says, I'm going to encourage you. And I'm going to lift you up in prayer. You know why? Because we need all the encouragement we can get today, folks. We got plenty of discouragement around in the world we live. And I've said it and I will say it again. If you can't find peace in your local church, find peace in a church, where can you find peace? Listen, there's value in remembering. Paul says in Philippians 1 and 3, I thank God, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Philippians 1 and 6, and he says, being confident of this thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meant for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. What are you saying, Pastor? The Paul says, even though I may be in prison, even though I might be where I'm at, even though I am separated from you, we are all in this together. We're all in this together. I've always said, and we'll say it again, we're in this thing together, folks. You're not on an island alienated by yourself. The devil wants you to be on an island somewhere and be alienated by everybody else, but you're not. We're in this thing together because God has called us as sons and daughters of the Most High God. He has called us that we pray for one another, that we earnestly encourage one another, and that we would earnestly strengthen one another through the power of prayer. Prayer will go a lot further than anything else you could ever imagine. Money can't buy prayer. Money can't buy fame. Money can't through prayers, through fame and fortune, none of that. Because through the power of prayer, it alleviates all the man-made things, all the material things. It goes straight to the throne room of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the power of prayer can move mountains in your life, can move obstacles in your life, move circumstances and situations in your life. But the question is, do you want those mountains moved? There are some that want to continue to climb the mountain and say, don't move the mountains. I'm fine where I'm at. Oh, but let things happen in their life. Let things begin to take place in their life that they can't handle. And they stress out about this and stress out about that and this and that and the other. Folks, I want you to know, I want somebody praying for me. I want somebody to get a hold of God for me. I need the prayers. I covet your prayers because it's going to take prayers that's going to take us through this world which we live. It's going to take prayer to help us day by day. It's going to take prayer that we continue to make it one day and make heaven our home. It will take the power of prayer. Listen, God has made us with the ability to remember. Now, I know we're getting older, and I know we can get senile, and I know we can forget things, but I will say that it will get a point that we may deal with amnesia, we may deal with dementia, we may deal with a lot of things. But while we have our faculties, while we have our minds, we need to understand that we are to remember those that has said a prayer for you and those that are praying for you. Listen, God has given us that ability. Instructions to remember even the Bible, to remember now thy Creator. We are to remember who God is. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Listen, we are to remember just as Lot's wife. In Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. What did Lot do? Lot looked back at the Sodom and Gomorrah, and what she turn into? A pillar of salt. We are to remember as the Scriptures tells us. We also are to remember 1 Corinthians 11:24, as the Apostle Paul writes, he says, do this in remembrance of me. This is the Lord Jesus Christ himself says this. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. There's power in remembrance. Amen. Let me say it again today, folks. There's power in remembrance. We are never to take lightly when somebody says, I'm praying for you. And let me go a step further. Don't tell somebody that you're going to pray for them and you don't pray for them. Amen. Let me say that again. It seems like in our society there's a nonchalant thing that goes on. I'm praying for you. And maybe you might see it through social media. And I'm not saying everybody's like that, but there are some that just say it because it's cliche. I'm praying for you. If you say something to somebody and say, I'm praying for you, please take the time out and pray for them. Please call their name out and pray for them. Don't let them be deceived in that you're saying you're doing something and you're not doing it. When somebody says something, then how about take the time out and whisper a prayer and say, Lord, help my sister, if she's a sister or a brother in the Lord, help my sister and brother in the Lord. Maybe they're not a Christian. You can call their name out And I'm praying for them. And pray for them. Just don't say it. Don't just type it. Don't just text it. But if you're really saying it, please stop by and stop enough time to pray for what, because why? It is so important because Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. And do this as often as you drink, to do this in remembrance of me. That's why Jesus says, don't forget. We don't forget the Lord's Supper. We're to never forget the Lord's Supper. Why, Pastor? Why are we never to forget? Because He bled and died for us over 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. His body was nailed to the tree. The blood that was shed down Calvary's cross was for our sins to be remissed and to be shamed, to be shown of all the world, of all the shame and all that was on the cross that you and I may be set free. And that's what God has done today. He has set us free. But Jesus says, don't forget, because it's my body. Don't forget, it is my blood. We are to never forget. Also remember, the Bible tells us in Revelations 2 and 5, remember from whence thou art fallen. In Revelations 2 and 5, it says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto the quickly, and I will remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. You see, here God is speaking. He's saying, the church, I know everything that's going on, but you've lost your first love. You've lost your first love. He says, if you don't go back to where I'm at, if you don't go back to the cross, if you don't go back to the love, remember, I can take my spirit from you. Remember. That's why it's so important that we are to remember. Paul remembers Philippi, a little group by a river. Lydia's conversion that took place, she came to know the Lord. The Philippian jailer, the whole family was saved. Remember the high points in your Christian life, the day that you got saved of conversion. Remember that day. I remember getting saved on Halloween night on October the 31st. I remember vividly at age 16. Never forget where God has brought you from and where you're at now. You're not living in the past, but now you're living in the present. You can't do nothing about the past, but what you can do is the present now. And all we know is God has your future. He has my future. The time you fully surrendered to the Lord, God has recorded that in the Lamb's Book of Life. Was there ever a better day? Was there ever a better day when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't think so. Because that was a day that you can remember if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life. That is a day of celebration to know now that you have made your Savior, your Lord, and that He can truly, truly rules and reigns in your life. Second thing I want you to know today, there's value in remembering positive things about others. There's value in remembering positive things about others. Paul could have saw the church at Philippi and said, Lord, there's a lot of people that's gossiping. There's a lot of people that's throwing discord. There's a lot of people that are just doing a lot of things. I can't believe this is going on. And what kind of people do we have here? No. There were things going on, but what did Paul? He says, Paul says, I want to thank my God for the ones that are praying. I want to thank God because, God, you love them. God, you love them as well. You see, Paul didn't have tunnel vision. A lot of times, if we're not careful, we have tunnel vision. We only see what we want to see. We want to look at only what we can look at. And that's it. But we need to open up our eyes. We need to broaden our vision and broaden what God is doing even in your life that God will do to others in their life. You see, there's value in remembering the positive things about each and every one. Every remembrance of you. Was the church at Philippi, was it perfect? No. No perfect church, no perfect pastor. Paul refused to dwell on the negatives about the things of the people within the church. You see, if the devil can get the negative things in your church and get the negative things about everybody else, that's where he can stop you in doing the work of the Lord. Get your mind off of people. Get your mind off of the left and what the right's doing. Get your mind on the cross. Get your mind in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Get it intact and get victory on top of victory and let God do a change in your life. And don't worry about what's going on tomorrow or somebody else. Get your mind on the cross and let God be God in your life. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. That's what's wrong with a lot of our churches today. We get our mind on everybody else, about everything. Why she's not, why he's not, why is that not happening, why is that not happening? Don't get your mind on things. Get your mind on the cross and say, Lord, I want to do a work for you until you call me home. I want to work for the glory of God. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. But it's about you doing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because on that day, I will not give an answer to you. You will not give an answer to me, but you will give an answer to the Almighty God, and He's got His record, He's got His book, and He's going to take care of it, and He's going to be faithful in all that He does. That's the one that you work for. You work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Paul refused to dwell on the negatives about the people at Philippi. Were there gossip there? Probably were. Were there troublemakers there? Probably were. But Paul did not focus on these negative characteristics. Paul thought about those who were faithful. Hear me today, folks. Paul was what? Paul thought about those who were faithful. Listen, you and I may go through things in life, but we're to be faithful to the very end. We are to be here when the doors are open to honor our Lord and Savior on the Sabbath Sunday, because that's one of the Ten Commandments, that we would honor Him on the Sabbath Sunday, that we would keep it holy, and that we would acknowledge Him and find rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's something to be thankful for. That's something to give God praise for. How that He has blessed us to have rest even on a Sabbath Sunday. Paul did not focus on the things that was around him to discourage him. Some cared and shared. Some gave sacrificially and some witnessed fervently. Paul remembered these things. I'm coming to my closing. The question would be, what do you think when you think of this church? What do you think when you think of this church? Do you think negativity? Do you think negative? Or do you think positive? Do you think it'll never be? Or do you think it will be? Do you ever think, I don't know if it's ever going to get through a hump? Or do you think, yes, it's going to go, we're going to go over the hump? You see, we are what we think. Let me say it again. You are what you think. And I want you to know today that we must be thankful in everything, because we're all human, folks. We're not robots. We all have feelings. God created feelings. He created emotions. He created the things that we deal with day in and day out. Those are things that God created unto us. The question is, are you thankful for some? Are you thankful for all? the value of expressing appreciation to those we love. Paul wasn't just thankful. He told them he was thankful. What good is appreciation if it's never expressed? What good is appreciation if it's never expressed? Like love, appreciation must be spoken. It must be expressed. Letters to be written, calls to be made, people to see. We are forever to remember what people have done for us, remembering together. For whom are you thankful? Thank God for you. I thank God for you. Because I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your love. I appreciate it. It never goes unnoticed. Why? Because it's something for somebody to think of somebody else. Can you believe that in a society we live in? Yes. It is something for somebody to think about somebody else. It's something for somebody to pray for somebody else. It's something for somebody to take out of their busy schedule. You say, Pastor, we're that busy? Yes, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Your week's already planned next week. Your month's already planned next month. You've got things already on the list. Everything is planned. But thank God, somebody out of their busy schedule slowed down enough to lift you up in prayer and to thank their God for you and that they got a prayer through. They got a prayer through. Stand with me across the building today. Listen. God loves each person.